Would you join me in prayer for our time in the Word? Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time to gather together and pray together. We thank you for your Word by which you speak to us, giving us wisdom to understand the world around us and knowledge to walk in your ways. We ask that you would help me to accurately speak from your Word, that you would cause any error in what I say to be promptly forgotten by the folks here. For those listening, please grant them to be kept from distraction. And we ask that you would speak to us from your Word now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's passage is Philippians chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. That's on page 980 in the Bibles in the pews, I believe. So please turn there if you would. I'm going to be as often as possible trying to point your eyes back there. That's 980 in the Bibles. Have you ever found yourself in a painful, frustrating, or discouraging situation and found yourself asking, why is this happening? Maybe you even found yourself thinking, there's no point to this situation. Why doesn't God get me out of here? Well, I suppose we've all felt that way. It's fairly relatable. We've asked those same questions. I certainly know I have, even within the last several weeks, to be honest. Fortunately, God does not leave us completely uninformed in those situations. In today's passage, we'll see that God's word tells his suffering people, particularly those suffering persecution, that there is a purpose after all. Follow along with me as I read Philippians 1, verses 27 to 30, and then we'll focus in on the last two verses there. Philippians 1, 27 to 30. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the gospel, for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. We'll unpack this passage under two main points. Firstly, when Christians suffer persecution, it is for Christ's sake. Secondly, in your suffering, look to the example of other believers and press on. Our verses tonight begin with the key word for. You can see it there. For it has been granted to you. It's clear then that our verses build on the verses that came before, namely verses 27 and 28. Our brother Adam did a great job last month preaching on these verses, 27 and 28. They express how when believers suffer persecution with unity and without fear, it's a sign of coming judgment on persecutors and a sign of coming salvation for believers. Our verses tonight support and expand upon these ideas. The main point of the text, and hence of this sermon, is this. Christian, press on if you face persecution, because it is a gift from God and it has a purpose. The first point is that when Christians suffer persecution, it is for Christ's sake. When Christians suffer persecution, it is for Christ's sake. We can see this as we examine verse 29. Look there if you would. Paul says at the beginning of verse 29 that it has been granted to the Philippian church that they should believe in Christ for Christ's sake. It's a good reminder for believers that they were chosen by God. It's not them that chose God. It was granted to us by God to believe. And what an encouraging thought that it was granted to us for Christ's sake. I suppose at least that this means that Christ is brought glory and fame as he deserves as a result of our believing. What a wonderful thing that our faith, which brings us joy and purpose in life, is simultaneously for Christ's sake. You may notice, though, that faith is not the only thing that has been granted to the Philippian church. If you look in verse 29, Paul says they were also granted suffering. In light of the previous verses, it seems clear that Paul is has in view the Philippians suffering persecution for their faith. When was the last time you looked at someone and said to them, "I have a gift for you. Here's a box full of persecution. Merry Christmas." No, certainly we don't tend to think that way. But Paul says that this suffering was granted to them like a gift right alongside their faith. How is that possible? Why is this persecution a gift and not just a miserable burden? Well, there's a hint if we look for the only phrase that is repeated in our passage. We see in verse 29, the idea of "for Christ's sake" is repeated twice in this short sentence. "It has been granted to you for the sake of Christ that you should suffer for his sake." The repetition provides a very clear emphasis. It's like Paul is trying to drill down into the Philippians that their persecution is not pointless. It's for a purpose. It's for Christ's sake. Importantly, Paul isn't talking about being persecuted for being a meddler or being obnoxious. He's talking about being persecuted as a Christian. That kind of suffering is for Christ's sake. What does that mean? How can suffering persecution be for Christ's sake? Well, I think verse 28, right before our passage, has the answer. Believers facing persecution well is a sign to unbelievers of the coming judgment upon them and the coming salvation for believers. In other words, the gospel message shines forth as believers stand firm, unafraid, when they're looked down on, mocked, or even harmed because they're Christians. Christ is shown to be glorious as he really is to the onlooking world when it becomes clear his people really believe their treasure is in heaven and not on earth. Christian, if you are suffering persecution, you have a unique opportunity to shine forth the glory of Christ to those around you. How are you using that opportunity? This suffering has been granted to you for Christ's sake. Maybe you're instead a Christian and not currently suffering persecution for your faith. If that's you, I wonder if you hear this passage and you ask yourself, is something wrong with me as a Christian? Why am I not being persecuted? Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Indeed, there may be many causes for not being persecuted, and surely many of them are sinful. At times, we're not as bold in our witness to unbelievers as we ought to be. Let's confess these sins and pray to the Lord for boldness. However, our text has a word of encouragement on this point as well. It was helpfully pointed out to me that there's another significance of the word "granted" used here in verse 29. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian church, to whom it had at that time been granted to suffer for Christ's sake. For many of us today, it seems it has not at this time been granted that we should suffer persecution for Christ's sake. God is wise and sovereign over such things, and we ought to trust him in his timing. He may soon grant that we too should suffer persecution for Christ's sake, or he may not. Either way, we need to trust him. I've been speaking tonight of the hope that Christians have that their pain in life has a good purpose. However, sadly, if you're here tonight and you're not following Christ, I must tell you this hope does not now extend to you. We all have pain in life, and that pain is a consequence of mankind's sin, yours, mine, and everybody else's. Worse yet, the ultimate consequence of our sin is eternal judgment after death, because you have sinned against a holy God. Yet in his mercy, Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners by his sacrifice on the cross. If you repent of your sins and believe in him, your sins will be forgiven and you will have eternal life. In this life, the pain you feel will no longer be suffering to no good end, but rather pain on the road to glory. So I implore you to turn from your sin and place your faith in Jesus today. We've just discussed how when Christians suffer persecution, it's for Christ's sake. Now for the second point of the sermon. Christian, in your suffering, look to the example of other believers and press on. In your suffering, look to the example of other believers and press on. We can see this in verse 30. Look there with me if you would. Paul says that the Philippian church is engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. When Paul planted the church in Philippi, he ended up being unjustly beaten and imprisoned. His persecutions haven't stopped. He, at the time of writing this letter, is in prison again, unjustly. So Paul knows what he's talking about to the Philippians. Isn't it encouraging that the giants of the faith, like Paul, were not up in some ivory tower handing down decrees to people struggling far below them? No, Paul's list of misadventures was quite extensive. Jesus himself, though God, came to earth for 30-some years in part so that he could sympathize with the struggles of his people. Paul is here offering an example, himself as an example, of how to suffer persecution well. We see in the book of Philippians Paul's steadfast insistence that God is working even in his imprisonment. See earlier in chapter 1. Paul is somehow thankful for the ways that the gospel is advancing, even when his enemies are spiteful toward him. He seems so genuinely concerned for the Philippian church and their circumstance, and there doesn't seem to be a hint of self-pity in his words. He even somehow speaks of rejoicing in his circumstance. So, Christian, if you're persecuted and you're wondering how to stand firm and shine for Christ's sake in your trial, our passage has something to say to you. Paul will say later in Philippians chapter 3, "Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Implicit here is an exhortation to keep going. Feeling frustrated or sad is one thing, but don't stop doing the things that you know God is calling you to do in your situation. If you're being persecuted in your workplace, for example, don't stop being a good employee so long as you're there. Additionally, consider meditating on Paul's example of godly suffering in the book of Philippians, or ponder Christ's example of suffering on the cross. One good way to do this would be to memorize a few verses in Philippians as Paul describes his joy and faith in God amidst his trial. Or memorize the end of 1 Peter 2, which discusses Christ's suffering and endurance in his trial and persecution on the cross. Another way to help press on in suffering is to consider the flesh and blood example of more mature godly believers in the church. For example, I was recently very encouraged when William and Diamond Smith were asking for prayer that they would be able to suffer with joy through Will's injury. It reminded me that I need to pray for joy in the midst of my own difficulty, and I started asking people, please pray that for me. I'm thankful to the Lord for such examples in our church. Let me now conclude. The main point of our passage is this. Christian, press on if you face persecution, because it is a gift from God, and it has a purpose. It's certainly very difficult to think this way, and we need much grace from the Lord to do so. Let's pray to that end. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the examples of Jesus, Paul, and our brothers and sisters throughout history and in this church. We praise you that at the right time, you grant your people to suffer for your sake. We ask that you would give us much grace so that we would stand firm and united when amidst suffering. We ask that you would bring glory and honor to the name of Christ, and that many would be saved through our witness. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.